not a bonus. We're doing Rampage, folks.
Oh, boy.
I got a little extra time on my hands. Adelaide Lori is happy to help me out with that.
You betcha. Half asleep, but happy to help.
All right. Well, Adelaide, what did you like this week? Well, at least since Wednesday.
Well, since we live in Florida, I have to say the weather. It's finally that weather that's not so hot that you feel like you're taking a second shower when you walk outside, and it's cool enough to feel like fall.
I can appreciate that, definitely. I did like the weather today.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, as far as things that I like since Wednesday, I'm going to tell you right now it's a twofer. One of them is sort of a pipe dream. I want AEW to buy ROH's back catalog because that includes All In and allows AEW to be a lot more viable financially for a streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
That's the pipe dream. For me, I like that I have time to do Rampage this week.
I can understand that.
It is a fun thing. So, here we go. Oh, I almost forgot. This is We Like What We Like. My name is Javier Augusto. With me, as always, is Adelaide Lori.
Hi, everyone.
We'll see you after the first segment. First match on Rampage Halloween Edition. Eddie Kingston versus Bryan Danielson. Mad King versus American Dragon. Holy shit. That match was awesome.
Intense.
I mean, it is exactly the kind of match that would make me very happy to be watching this episode today. Thank you, AEW, for that one.
It was a chop fest.
Unfortunately, it was a chop fest.
It was just, I don't know, man. It hurts my soul to look at that chest.
Bryan Danielson's chest. Chris Jericho said it best. It looked like someone dumped a bucket of tomato sauce on his chest. Those blood vessels were ruptured.
Yeah, it was, oh gosh, I don't even know where to begin. It was just so ruthless.
Yeah, that's the right way to say it. It was ruthless. It was a ruthless match. Eddie Kingston, whew, looking to slay the American Dragon. Wow. The match starts very wary. Choppy. Well, wary. They're watching each other. They're circling, keeping their hands in front of them. Danielson goes for the knuckle lock. Didn't happen. Eddie Kingston tries to, grab him into a suplex. Doesn't happen. They end up against the ropes. And Danielson's back is in the ropes. The referee splits them up. Kingston throws in the cheap shot chop to the chest. Really awesome. Next, they're getting a feel for each other. They end up in the corner. The referee breaks them up as Eddie Kingston's back's in the turnbuckle. Bryan Danielson pulls Rick Knox away. Starts his yes woo thing that he gets whenever he goes chop versus kick. Kick, Adelaide.
Knee kick?
Just a kick. And then that just back and forth. Eddie chopped Bryan Danielson's chest raw.
Oh, yeah.
And go ahead.
I agree with you. That was a kick because he didn't hit him with the knee. Hit him with his foot. That's a kick. But if you hit him with the knee, it's a knee kick.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Being serious, this match was absolutely it is how you fight two talented wrestlers that have entirely different styles. Eddie Kingston, brawler, technical style with some suplexes, but definitely a brawler. Danielson, absolutely going with the technical wrestling. Amazing.
Yeah, so they're in the ring, and as you said, chops, kicks, mostly chops, because Eddie had most of it, clearly by the chest of Bryan Danielson.
I mean, his chest was raw after about the first 4 minutes of the match, but or maybe 3 minutes of the match. But Eddie didn't stop. So he just kept going.
It had to be more of an Eddie match in the beginning because you couldn't start off with holds or the wrestling maneuvers that Bryan Danielson is so famous for. So it was a lot of aggressive chopping, hitting, kicking, back and forth, mostly Eddie. And then they went outside. And then unfortunately went picture in picture with the outside, but it was still mostly Eddie.
Yes. Even when they got back in the picture in picture, it was just Eddie brutalizing.
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't until the end. It was the whole time though, like, Bryan was kicking knees and pulling at the shoulder and hurting the wrist, like doing things that would hurt body parts on Eddie Kingston that would eventually be the downfall at the end because they're both exhausted. I mean, I feel like this match lasted 100 years. I wanted it to end so badly because just showing the chest hurts me. And then Eddie sells so well. He's drooling and like he looks like he's in pain. And I'm just like, please stop the madness. Stop. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the ending.
Well, let's talk a couple of moves.
Okay.
Eddie Kingston he's in a Fujiwara armbar. Bryan Danielson's applied it. He can't really get it. He knows that the opposite shoulder is taped up, so he switches sides in order to get it. Eddie stands up while this is happening and then grabs Bryan and puts him in a DDT. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to talk about the part that happened before that you're not a biggest fan of, just to get it out of the way so people know?
No, I think that's a longer story. Sure, if you want to.
It's fine with me. You do what you want, but I think that it's good for people to know that you are a wrestling fan. Maybe not the most involved or in detailed or wrestling fan.
Right.
But there are things that you like and that you do not like.
There are a few things I do not like. They are related to each other because people do not behave this way. I despise the sudden bursts of energy to get back in the ring when 2 seconds ago, no, I'm sorry, 1 second ago you couldn't because they were counting to 10. So I'm familiar with how long it took you to going from falling to the ground to all of a sudden having the most energy of your life to hop into the ring. Now, I understand it's storytelling. I get it. I get it. But there's a way to do it so you are not hopping up and jumping into the ring as if someone just shot you up with B12. You could have like fallen, stumbled, B12. And then crawled into the ring and then slowly gotten your energy back. There's a way to tell that story. I fargin' hate it. I hate it when you're jumping. And here's how it relates. Okay, so you're a tag team, right? And one of your people's in the ring and they're going around and they're doing their thing and they're getting their butt kicked and they really want to tag. And they do one final move that allows them to be able to tag. And then for some reason, they fall to the ground and start shaking. Please, I just need to tag you. Oh my God, this is the longest stretch ever. Oh gosh, help, help. And then all of a sudden, boom, they have enough energy to jump up and tag them and then get over the... just slowly go over there. Just slowly do it. I think we have that storyline wrong. And I'll tell you what. Big Damo. I saw Big Damo in an interview where he was talking about the ladder match that they did.
Big Damo is a... that's his indie name. In WWE, he was Killian Dane. He was part of Sanity. He's a really, really good wrestler. Funny, funny guy.
Funny guy, which is the reason I watched I've never seen a match with him in it, but I have watched the interview with him. He was talking about probably one of the most famous ladder matches now that everyone, what is your favorite ladder match? They're going to say this ladder match. Because what he said was all the wrestlers got together and said, why do we crawl up the ladder like it's the first time we've ever gone up a ladder? Why do we do that? We all know what we're supposed to do. So the deal is, if it's your turn to go up the ladder, go as quickly as you can. Because it is our job to get you off. To get you off the ladder so that you don't get the prize at the top. Don't slowly crawl up the ladder. We are not new to ladders. Just go. And I think it made a difference. Because everybody loves that match.
Everybody does. And you're absolutely right. I know the match you're speaking of, and it's a fantastic match. I'd go into it now, but we're doing Rampage. We can do retrospectives another time. But yes, the only reason I wanted you to talk about this is because obviously there was that spot where Bryan Danielson is outside of the ring, and they're and Rick Knox is counting to 10. He's at 9. Or I'm sorry, he's at 8.
He's at 8. He can't get up. He cannot get up.
And he's at 8, and Bryan Danielson gets up and touches the apron. Falls down at 9, and before 10, has jumped into the ring.
Hops up like his ass is on fire.
Right. So, outside, I personally love that storytelling. I love the big drama. I love the hot tag. I love the drag to the tag partner. But that's me.
Ugh. I grew up
groomed a certain way for wrestling, and Adelaide came at it late. So Adelaide looks at this and goes, that doesn't make any sense. She's willing to suspend her disbelief on the Irish whip, but she's not willing to do it on the slow tag or the hop up right at the end of the 9 or the 10 count, which I understand. And I think that's something we could talk about later, but I wanted people to know she's not just always happy in butterflies. There are things she doesn't like.
Look, the rest of it's a dance. I can suspend my disbelief for a day. The Paso Doble is a person and a cape. Sure, I get it. I can absolutely. It's human nature. Think about what you would do in that situation and do that. Don't do what we've been doing for 20 years because we've been doing it for 20 years. Revitalize it. Think about it. It's not how people behave.
All right, let's jump to the end now. But you got a point. We're going to come back to that. Now, the end of the match. What did you think about the end of the match?
You're setting me up to be the bad guy today.
Fair enough. I'll talk first. I thought the end of the match, Eddie Kingston hits Bryan Danielson in the middle of an exchange. They're having a fighting exchange, sort of this big, I've got my energy up, fighting exchange. Eddie Kingston does his spinning back fist and hits Bryan Danielson flush. It takes him 12 seconds, 15 seconds to crawl over to him. Because he's exhausted, he falls down. And he's crawling over to Bryan Danielson to pin him. And he goes to do it. And right when he's about to do it, Bryan Danielson wraps his legs around his head and puts him in a triangle. Eddie Kingston's fighting or struggling. Bryan Danielson drops elbows on the top of his head. Looks very MMA. And he's just holding him. Triangle. Eddie Kingston flicks him off. And is punching him in the side to get out. Bryan Danielson turns him and squeezes, and he's out. Eddie Kingston's out. Rick Knox calls for the bell. Bryan Danielson lets him go. Bryan Danielson is still laying in the ring. He's too tired to get up. I thought that was awesome.
And Adelaide. I hated it. God.
Oh, she brought all the vinegar on this one. What's going on? Why are you so bitter?
Don't come for me, but here's my thought. Bear with me.
Go.
So Bryan Danielson is going to be a big name in AEW for a very long time.
Fact.
Okay. Eddie Kingston has been here for most of it. Okay.
Year and a half. Right. Almost.
I say let Bryan Danielson simmer a little bit longer in the juices that is AEW. Okay. My thought process on Eddie Kingston should have won. Harkens back to what everybody keeps saying to me about Jade Cargill and that Ruby Soho shouldn't win their women's division tournament because it needs to be AEW grown. Okay. If you let Eddie Kingston win this match, come with me on another booking tour. So he wins, right?
Okay.
Okay. Who does he have to face eventually? John Moxley.
Well, it would be his next match because John Moxley is going to face off against Orange Cassidy.
Right.
And Orange Cassidy's probably going to lose to John Moxley.
With the way that John Moxley has told his storyline, right? I'm going to chew through everybody to win.
Correct.
Wouldn't that be more poignant if he has to chew through his best friend.
A guy who he's already faced for the title, who he beat for the title.
Right, but now they're back together. Love you, buddy. We're in this together. With his new attitude, since my daughter's been born, I don't care about anything other than just destroying everyone in my wake to do what I do best. Isn't that a better storyline? If one of the people he has to go through is his best friend.
Well, I think that at that point with that storyline, I'm still thinking that Jon Moxley is going to win that fight.
He's going to win the whole thing. Like, Bryan Danielson is not going to win. It's going to be Jon Moxley.
Okay.
So wouldn't it be a better storyline? And then Jon Moxley then has to face Bryan Danielson for the championship. And wouldn't that be a better story? I don't know. I just feel like it should have been Eddie. My opinion. I think that one was not thought out properly.
I see what you're saying. I don't disagree with your booking idea. I like the way that this is playing out. I like Bryan Danielson going against Jon Moxley and losing to Jon Moxley because it sets Jon Moxley up as a guy who can face these odds and beat these odds that he faced before, except without Don Callis in the microphone.
Right.
Now it'll be the Young Bucks and Adam Cole, Brandon Cutler, and Michael Nakazawa helping out Kenny Omega or betraying Kenny Omega because that storyline's still a chance. So I like all of that. So all in all, what I liked about the match, the whole match, thought it was well told. The Mad King versus the American Dragon, chef's kiss, would recommend.
A brutal chef's kiss.
Brutal chef's kiss. Aggressively kissing the turkey before I put it in the oven. That thing is, it is definitely, yeah, yeah. That steak took a beating. Yeah. It's so tender. All right. But I do absolutely believe that this was, it's a top tier match and one that people should talk about. It's amazing.
I just feel like Daniel Bryanson would not have lost.
Daniel Bryanson?
Bryan Danielson would have not lost. He wouldn't have lost anything if he'd have lost. Wouldn't have affected him.
If the end of the match had been that spinning back fist and Eddie Kingston rolling, landing on top of him for a 1-2-3 where we do that shoulder or that roll of the shoulder right after, I think that that's a match that you can say maybe Bryan Danielson misunderstood how good Eddie Kingston was.
Right.
And we could have a rematch that would be amazing.
A rematch? And I don't know. I just think there would have been more options, but okay.
All right. So let's see him after the next segment.
Okay. What a flipping amazing match.
Every time you get me. Yes, it was flipping amazing, in my opinion.
I mean, Matt Sydal and Dante Martin is exactly what you thought it would be. Flips and moves and jumping and just amazing.
Yep. Now, before we do that, though, let's talk about the promo that happened or almost happened right before the match.
Ah, yes.
Okay, everybody knows we're excited about this match, so let's be about the match, but let's talk about this promo real quick so that we don't leave anything out.
Sure. I tried to block it from my brain, but it didn't work, apparently.
You've got Tony Schiavone backstage interviewing CM Punk. They start to talk about how he is and the match that he had just recently and how he won it, and basically that puts him at 5-0. He's doing very well in AEW, and that might be leading him to something. You have Eddie Kingston coming backstage super upset about the way he lost the match. You hear in the background, I didn't tap out. Why'd you ring the bell? I didn't tap out. Why'd you ring the bell? Now that's Eddie being upset, and it's logical. Now he comes up and you hear him screaming, what's so funny? Tony Schiavone puts the microphone up to Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston knocks it to the ground, says, no. I know you, talking to CM Punk. I know you. What's so funny? And CM Punk says, what are you talking about, man? Calm down. And Eddie gets into CM Punk's face. Ruby Soho, a couple other people come out, sort of get Eddie to back off and go back to another part of the backstage area. CM Punk ends that bit by saying, It's unprofessional. I'm disappointed in you. Hmm. What'd you think about that?
Sure. Who is CM Punk to be disappointed in Eddie Kingston? Why do I care? Fair. I understand. I am a hater today, and I hate this. So I'm just going to say, who are you to be disappointed? Who are you? I don't care. I don't care that you're disappointed. Okay? I understand they're trying to go a certain direction with Eddie, and it's the crazy, off-the-rails, whatever the case may be, storyline that they're going to go for, which, you know, do what you got to do. Tony, I'm serious now, Tony. Give me a call. Let's chat. There's other words you can use. I know you got money. Just buy yourself a thesaurus. Do something different.
Wow.
I am a hater today. I do want to say happy birthday, CM Punk.
Happy birthday, CM Punk. So, yes, you got some literary burns going on.
I'm grammar frustrated. Burn.
No, but you just said you were upset about it. You didn't explain the why. So please answer what bothered you about it.
I did say why. Who the hell is CM Punk to say you're disappointed?
Yeah, but I'm saying, yeah, I get that. And I understand that personal thing. But you're saying you can see where it's going. And you had told me while we weren't recording that you felt that something's happening in the narrative.
Yeah, obviously they're going to turn him heel. I mean, Eddie. Because they're doing, you know, he has to go his own way. Moxley's doing his own thing. So Eddie has to do his own thing and he's going heel. I don't care. That's cool. I liked him as a heel before. He does great promos, both when he's not a heel and when he's a heel. So I'm looking forward to that. But I just think there are certain things you can say and not say. And like, first of all, a pipe bomb boy. Who are you to say someone is unprofessional? I think a lot of people would... Oh, I don't know. Take issue with that coming from you. Just a thought.
All right, fair. Let's talk about the match.
Okay, that's awesome. Loved it. It's great. It's the best thing I've seen all day.
All right. Adelaide found her joy.
Yay.
Technical matches aren't necessarily her thing.
Flippy.
Loves the Flippy Boys.
If we go back to it being a dance, I just think that Dante Martin and Matt Sydal are two of the best at it, to be honest. It was poetry in motion. It was amazing.
When Matt Sydal came into AEW back in 2020, I absolutely 100% loved it. Matt Sydal is single-handedly one of my favorite high flyers. Always has been. Since he has added all of these technical wrestling techniques, and you know, I've talked to you about how much I like technical wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Since he's added it, it makes him such a complete wrestler. I would love to see him go on a run for a title. Now, I understand that that's difficult when you have all of these big names and the fans get over on some people and not others. So I get it. I do get it. However, Matt Sydal is amazing. Dante Martin, I already said it. I said it to you. I'm going to say it again. I'm not being hyperbolic when I say this. Dante Martin is the next AJ Styles. No question.
Yeah. He's just, you know how they say like good quarterbacks like slow down the game so they can see everything in their field and then know like where they're supposed to throw the ball. Like Dante Martin, when he does flips, it's like he slows down so he lands perfect. Like, I can't explain how it just looks like he's floating when he's doing some of those moves. You're just like, what did I just watch?
Perfect example. There are people that I've spoken to and had conversations with about Private Party. Two of the, you know, sort of more premier high flyers in the tag team division. Dante Martin makes complicated moves look as if he's been doing them every week. And he hasn't because he throws in a new innovation. Private Party, one of my biggest complaints about Private Party is that they look like they're trying too hard to innovate. They can hit the moves, but doing so much in the match makes them look like they're being sloppy when they're not. They're just trying to add more things. I have no problem with Private Party. Let me just clear that up because I absolutely love them as a tag team. Dante Martin makes things that would be complicated, that would be difficult to throw in last minute, seem amazing.
Yeah, private parties more frenetic. It's like they're bouncing, like they don't, like a pinball game where the ball just, you know, bounces off of things. Where Dante Martin feels like it's planned and it's natural and it's like, this is what I do every day kind of a thing.
Exactly. It's poetry in motion. And yeah. You're absolutely right when you said that. Dante Martin in this match is in a segment. He kicks Matt Sydal back. Then as Matt Sydal is sort of doing that, oh, I'm on one knee, I'm getting up to come after you. Dante Martin is in the corner. He grabs the ropes on either side of the top turnbuckle underneath, which is surprising. I immediately noticed that. Then he hops up, bounces off the second turnbuckle to put his feet on the top turnbuckle. This is all upside down. And then grabs Matt Sydal in a headlock, by head scissors, I guess, and brings him in face first into the second turnbuckle. Now, I'm not describing this move with the fluidity that Dante Martin used to do the move. It was absolutely brilliant. Watching things like that, that's the reason why AEW gets all of these great moments, because you get these really brilliant moments inside of matches.
Right.
All right, let's talk about the match.
Oh, you just talked about the best part of the match.
Oh, I didn't think it was the best part of the match. I just thought it was a part that I thought was interesting.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I wrote down like that move and just a lot of flips. Although after that move, Matt had a lot of holds in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Something with the crab. Something with a surfboard.
All right. So, yeah, Matt Sydal. It's good that you did that. Matt Sydal did this back roll where he grapevines one of Dante Martin's legs and then grabs the other one into a half crab, but he's not grabbing it. Well, he's just grabbing his ankle and pulling it over his own shoulder. So it is a half crab, yes, but it looks like he's stretching the poor kid's groin. It's rough looking. It's good work. Then he puts him in a surfboard stretch, and surfboard stretches are a dime a dozen. You can always see them in a lucha. But the surfboard stretch, the difficulty of a surfboard stretch is that most guys need to rock back and forth to get the person up. Matt Sydal just grabs it, locks up his ankles, grabs his head, and just rolls back. One fluid motion. It's really great to watch someone that technically proficient at those kinds of moves.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. There was just a lot of back and forth with them after that. And then there was roll-ups by both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then was that the end after the roll-ups?
Yeah, it went right to the end after that.
Yeah, so then Dante Martin did a double springboard moonsault. Yeah, baby. There's my one.
There it is.
And he won the match. So it was amazing. I can't say enough about it. It was entertaining to watch.
The only reason I kept up with all of the moves as much as I did, or at least the different aspects of the match, is because we did have someone email us and mention that I got very excited about matches and then I would ignore the play-by-play. Now, yes, I'm not a commentator and we don't do this live. Well, we do it live, but we don't do a watch-along style live. So I get it, how excited I get. But I mean, some of these matches are just, don't do yourself a disservice. Watch Dante Martin in anything that he does. And Matt Sydal. I mean, both of them. You can watch them in anything.
Yeah, yeah. Ultimately, the best thing about this match was the nuance of Dante Martin and Lio Rush, because Dante Martin is wrestling his friend, and so he's conflicted. And you can see that conflict on his face throughout the match, because Lio Rush is on the outside going, you can do this, you got this, like being the coach that he's supposed to be. And so he's like, do I want to do this? Do I not want to do this? And it's throughout the whole match, and it's just little facial expressions where I'm just like, dang, could you not be good at everything, kid? I'm just saying.
Yeah, that is awkward. How good Dante Martin is at everything.
Yeah, I mean, it is nuanced. It is slight looks, just like, and then he moves on. He's like, no, I can do this. I can do this. I need to do this. If I want to be successful, I need to do this. And you can see the conflict like happening with just barely a look on his face. This is amazing. Like, he's good. I approve.
And you know what? I guess that speaks to the camera work too, because you don't get it in a lot of other matches.
True.
Where the camera will be right there at the right time. You'll have too many cuts and True. You won't see everything.
So we went from one really good selling wrestler with Eddie Kingston to one really good selling wrestler, totally different styles, Dante Martin.
You were correct. I think we can end it there. We'll see you guys after the next segment, the main event. Well, the main event. Dr. Britt Baker.
DMD.
Mark. So, she faced off against Abaddon.
Which, by the way, congrats, girl. Getting it on television again. Good for you.
I'm going to say that Abaddon is my favorite creepy wrestler.
Oh, she's creepy.
For the creepy wrestler stuff, like back when Sue Young started and Rosemary started, and you had a couple other ones in Lucha Underground, but she's my favorite creepy wrestler right now. Abaddon's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
This match was not bad. It is a trick-or-treat match. The trick, you know, it's no disqualification. The treat, if Abaddon wins, she gets a title shot at Full Gear. Or she gets a title shot.
She gets a title shot.
So this match was, well, it was it did what it says on the label.
It was a no DQ match.
It wasn't that. What'd you think?
Uncomfortable.
Was it the blood?
It was the blood.
Yeah. I understand, you know.
Well, I'm gonna share something with our audience. We're friends, right? We're all friends. So
yeah.
I hate when things get stuck into skin. And we're gonna leave it there until we get to that point, but just keep that in mind.
I think that's a fair tease. That's a good tease. Here we are in a match that starts out with the doctor getting the intro first. Yes, she's the champ, so it's a little interesting until Abaddon comes out.
Yeah.
And then you get it.
Yeah.
Abaddon coming out second, not a problem.
Yeah, it was funny because Britt Baker didn't want to be in the ring. Like, she's like, no, I'm not doing this. And tries to get out. And Jamie Hayter is like, no, girl, you have to stay in there. You have to do this.
Yeah.
And so she like pumps herself up and she's like, I'm the doctor. I'm the doctor.
Right. Which no, I'm the fair. Champ. I believe she said, I'm the champ.
I do. She did say, I'm a doctor. I'm the champ. So
right, there you go.
Somewhere in there.
I'm a doctor. I'm the champ.
It was very funny.
It was great. There was, with creepy matches, you're either going to have some levels of comedy or you're just absolutely going to try and sell suspense and fiction and terror throughout the entire match, which is difficult to do. It is difficult to do. I mean, Abaddon is not 6 foot tall. So you have to tell that narrative with someone who's shorter than you, as well as they have to be creepy. And she does do the dead man spot. She does do the Undertaker sit up spot a bunch, which is great. I love it.
Yeah.
So I am an Abaddon fan. I'm not going to say that I want her to win everything, but I do enjoy watching her when she's on TV.
I like that she's the creepy girl. I like that she's not the Barbie doll coming down the ring and doing the normal thing. I like be you, do you.
Absolutely. We agree on that.
Yeah.
She does a great job and she's a good wrestler.
Yeah, she's great and dedicated.
Yes, she definitely is dedicated to the craft. She is committed. She keeps kayfabe. She's just solid.
Yeah. So when they're in the ring, Britt Baker and Abaddon are in the ring. Jamie Hayter and Rebel are on the outside putting up a table. And that's immediately where the match starts to go towards.
Right.
And mm-hmm. Abaddon, like Britt Baker's trying to put Abaddon into the table, but then she pulls Britt Baker outside. So they're both on the apron and Britt Baker does some kind of twisty move.
She does a leaping, twisting neck breaker. Now, let me tell you, going to the outside with any kind of twisting move, always a little bit scarier.
Right.
You know, something could happen. You could land wrong. Normally you could land wrong and maybe somebody gets a bruise or a stinger. When you're landing on the outside, there's a lot more that can go wrong. You can get an angle wrong, land, screw up a hip. This is landing on a table. AEW tables are notoriously bad at breaking.
And they did not fail us tonight.
No, it chose to not break.
So they had one fall with that move where they both fell on the table, didn't break.
Didn't break. And Abaddon looked like she landed rough on that.
She did, because I think that's where she cut her finger.
We're going to come back to that.
Yeah. And then, so they both get up and then Britt. So the table is like sideways. So Rebel and Jamie Hayter straighten it out. And then Britt Baker picks up Abaddon and throws her on the table.
Correct. And she does a suplex. She does a regular old suplex to get her on the table, to break the table.
And it doesn't break.
And it doesn't break again. And I now feel bad for Abaddon.
Yeah. And at this point, I go, oh, I think somebody's bleeding.
Right. And I thought, nah, that's just the blood from Abaddon's mouth. It's just gimmick. And then I see the puddles.
Puddles.
And I go, oh, no, you're right. Someone's bleeding. Who's that? And she says, and Adelaide says, that is?
It's Abaddon's hand. And it's bleeding.
I thought, let me see. And there it is.
A lot.
It's dripping blood. Her hand is dripping blood from the pinky. So I assume she got cut in one of those two table spots. And that pinky does not look happy. It's not twisted or bent, so it's not broken sideways. But she definitely got a laceration in that part of her hand.
But does she stop?
No.
No.
Doesn't stop. Goes to the next spot, and she goes hard.
And what was the next spot?
This is really, honestly, for a hardcore match, not my favorite spot. And I know it's not your favorite spot. She reaches under the ring, pulls out a little black bag.
Is it a snake? What's in the bag?
Well, the little black bag is about the size of a woman's clutch. And inside that little black bag is thumbtacks.
I would prefer a snake.
Lots and lots of thumbtacks. Oh. Yes. Which she then pours into the ring, right where she is. Just pours them in the ring.
Yeah.
That is then sets up the spot where Britt Baker and Abaddon are fighting back and forth and trying not to get dumped into the thumbtacks. Britt Baker and Abaddon back away from each other. They do a scream spot. Britt Baker tries to do a flatliner on Abaddon, so to plant her face first onto the thumbtacks. Abaddon does a rock bottom. Actually, she lands on her knees, so it's more of the Booker T bookend, and drops Britt Baker back first on the thumbtacks. Rough. You know it hurts, because it always does. Abaddon goes for the pin, doesn't get it, rolls her back onto the thumbtacks. No way that doesn't hurt.
Yeah, because Britt Baker kicks out. And so Abaddon puts her back down and tries to do it again.
And then this kick out was a lot slower. It's a lot weaker a kick out. She's not trying to move in these thumbtacks.
Yeah.
Abaddon and Britt Baker stand up in the ring. Jamie Hayter runs into the ring, hits Abaddon in the back, and rolls out of the ring as quickly as possible. Britt Baker knocks down Abaddon, hits her with a thrust kick in the face, then puts a chair over her head and does a curb stomp on her.
Ugh.
It looks brutal. It's amazing for a spot.
It looks like she's dead.
Yes. And what does Abaddon do? She does the dead man no sell spot of just sitting up on her knees and taking the chair off of her.
While Britt Baker's back is turned, because she's now getting her little glove so she can do the
lockjaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's shocked. She gives her another, she grabs some thumbtacks. Britt Baker grabs some thumbtacks in her hand, puts them in Abaddon's mouth, gives her another thrust kick, and attempts to do the lock job, but she doesn't want to put her hand, this is the comedy again, she doesn't want to put her hand in Abaddon's mouth. Abaddon grabs Britt Baker's hand and bites it. And stands up biting Britt Baker's hand. Then, go ahead, do the end.
Oh, no, well, I don't remember. Like, Jamie Hayter comes in first or Rebel?
Rebel.
Rebel comes in first.
Well, Jamie Hayter comes in, but she doesn't do anything. And then yeah. Rebel's standing up on the apron. And so you get the Abaddon going up to Rebel and then biting Rebel on the neck.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. With the tacks. Ugh, gosh. And then it's Jamie Hayter's turn to, like, hit her or something.
Maybe.
She distracts, I think.
She distracts her. And at that point, you've got Dr. Britt Baker.
DMD.
Rolls up Abaddon into the thumbtacks and gets the pin.
And then quickly leaves the ring.
Skedaddles, even.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. It, whenever you see thumbtacks, whenever a table doesn't break, it just seems a lot more brutal.
It was very... This whole night was so brutal.
There was a lot of brutality on this night. It's the Halloween go-home episode. Like, oh, you gotta Lord. Do something on it. So that was how that ended. I personally... Britt Baker was so scared, she had the referee go back to the ring to get her belt.
Yeah.
She wasn't going back in there with Abaddon, who was incensed. So I think that this was a pretty good episode of Rampage. I'm very pleased with it.
It was good.
AEW does special episodes pretty well.
Yeah.
I very much enjoyed this. We'll see you guys for the outro. Hey, Adelaide.
Hey, Javier.
Another episode together.
Exciting times.
So, what did you think about AEW Rampage Halloween episode?
Brutal.
Okay. This is, okay, one word.
I mean, if one word will do, use it.
Absolutely. We don't disagree. All right. I'm going to go ahead and say that there was so many good elements on this show. It gave you a lot. And yes, it's a one-hour show. Yes, there were only three matches. Yes, there was one minor sort of angle segment, but it gave you so much. I personally love all of the variety. I love variety. I love variety in my wrestling. I love the different seasonings. It's good stuff.
It was very good. It was. What did you like? What was your moment in this episode?
Well, I'm not trying to get under your skin. I'm not trying to upset you, but I'll tell you that I had three and it was one in each match. I loved that the hardcore match with women was very intense, and you never have to be ashamed to say that was a good hardcore match, regardless of gender.
Right.
Then I loved Bryan Danielson and Eddie Kingston just had a clash of styles, but it was very technical with that clash. That was such a good story. I hope it continues because I really enjoyed it. I want to see what they do with Eddie Kingston. Yes, I get it. I do believe that I agree with you. He should have won.
Yeah.
However, that's only because you sold me on it. I was a firm believer that Bryan Danielson should have won. So you just made it sound better your way.
Yeah, you guys let us know. Let us know.
Absolutely. Let us know what you think, whether or not they should. Eddie Kingston should have won the Bryan Danielson match. And honestly, in the middle of the road match, I'm going to say I really enjoyed how the narrative was between the younger high-flying wrestler with Leo Rush right behind him telling him what to do and the veteran in Matt Sydal just sort of keeping it going. And there's no way to describe how talented those two are.
Yeah. I'd say the thing I liked the most about the episode was Dante Martin. It's very exciting to see someone so young, because he's only 20, to like understand his body, to be able to move the way he does, and understand like how to emote. He's 20.
That's true.
So I'm excited to see what he's going to do in the future. He was my favorite of the night. That was my...
I'm not going to disagree with you. He is just magnificent. And I will tell you that I was a huge AJ Styles fan during the height of his TNA era. So I was definitely a huge fan of his. I think Dante Martin could easily win that spot in my heart. He is amazing.
Yeah.
So for this episode, I think we're going to, if we were going to grade it, it'd be very good. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about the things that we talk about.
Okay.
If you guys want to speak to us, if you want to give us any feedback, please give us feedback. We've gotten very little, but we really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, then again, we haven't been around that long. But we do appreciate the feedback we have been getting, and you can reach us at
WLWWLpodcast@gmail.com.
All right. And since one of us has separate things, if they want to reach you, Adelaide Lori, where can they reach you?
They can go to my website, www.adelaidelori.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say thank you, everyone, for listening. And happy Halloween, and stay safe this weekend. Don't do anything crazy. And thank you for listening.
Absolutely. Thank you. For Adelaide Lori, I'm Javier Augusto. This has been We Like What We Like.
Yay!